Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 23. And being let go, they were in prison. They went to their own company, they being Peter and John, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, to do whatever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, verse 29, and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that the signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus. And verse 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Father, again, we pause to prepare our hearts for your word. We know that without your Spirit giving understanding, making application, bringing instruction, that, Lord, the seed of your word will not come with power. So we pray for your Spirit to lead us into all truth, even as Jesus said he would. For your Spirit to bring conviction and understanding from your Scripture. So move, Lord, in this body this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm noticing that my girls, my kids, Carissa, Isabella, Gabrielle, they have an ability to change my mind. Let me give you an example. A number of years ago, I was 13 years old, and I traveled with my best friend Neil's family to vacation down in Yosemite National Park. Beautiful place. Part of the vacation involved taking a trail ride on these horses through the trails there in Yosemite. I was really excited about riding a horse. Never ridden a horse before that. I thought, you know, I'm going to hop up there and I'm going to be a natural. The trail boss will be impressed by me. He'll say, wow, we need to upgrade you to the black stallion. You're some kind of natural here. And so I was real excited. I'm from Oregon. We've got horses up there. It's natural. So I was really excited. So we get there in this big group, about 50 people. And he says there's just a few simple rules with these horses. Number one, don't let them stop to eat. That they'll try to stop and chew on grass or leaves or whatever. And what that does is it backs everybody up behind you. So you got to just pull them up and get them in line. And the second thing you do is you don't let them get out of line. And they'll want to pass, you know. So you got to keep them in single file line. So they're real easy. These horses are trained to do this. This is what they do every day. Piece of cake, I thought to myself. You can just call me John Wayne Jr. So I get on my horse. And I'll tell you what. I think that horse was demon-possessed. I think it's one of the horses from the four horses of the apocalypse. It's going to be one of them. because within 2 minutes it had broken both those rules. It would stop and I would try to pull that thing up. It would get out of line and I'd try to pull it. It wouldn't do it. So the trial boss, he's coming back. Come on, he's telling me, just pull him back in. Just get a hold of those reins and jerk up on him. He'll listen to you. You're in charge here, son. And I thought to myself, I'm 13 years old. I'm 5'2". I weigh 90 pounds soaking wet. I'm not in charge. Satan's in charge. And so for the next hour and a half, I battled with this beast and I continually lost. And so I decided that day, 13 years old, that I will never, ever, ever, ever own a horse. I'm not going to do it. I don't like them. And I've explained that story to my family. I've shared the scars that did to my manhood. The scars to my tough guy image, my cowboy thoughts. And I thought they understood. I thought they realized that we'll never own horses. That was until about a year and a half ago or so. We were there as a family having family devotions around our dinner table. It was a Monday night. I have it journaled down. April 9th. We're sitting there having devotions, and we're just going around, and I just had the family pray something that they were thankful for. Just something you're thankful for that God has done for us. He's such a good God. And so we were going around the table, and it was my daughter Carissa's turn. She was 4 at the time. And she prayed this prayer. She said, "Thank you for the black and brown horse named Sweetie that I'm going to get." And I looked at her, and I said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." No, I didn't say that. I thought it. But I remember looking at her and thinking, you know what? We're going to get horses. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Before this moment, before she said that, I thought, I can convince them not to get horses. But after she prayed that prayer, after she said that with such faith, I knew, eventually, we're going to get horses. Don't let her know that, though. I've got a lot of chores. I mean, a lot of things I need to get out of her before I tell her that. She was able to pray a prayer that changed this father's heart, that changed the way that I feel. We'll get horses. And as a believer, I often wonder, Lord, how do I pray in such a way that we'll get results? How do I pray in such a way that's biblical and right? How do I pray? That's why I love to study the prayers in God's Word. God has recorded for us certain prayers that you and I can look at, and I believe they are models of how to pray. And this morning, we are looking at the very first prayer ever recorded of the early church. This is the first one. Yeah, they had prayed before that. It said in Acts chapter 1 that they were praying. In Acts chapter 2, they were praying. They were praying, but God doesn't record any of those prayers. God records this prayer. It's the very first prayer that's recorded of the early church. Let's take a look at some of the components of it. And I believe it gives us a recipe to receive, a prescription for power. Check it out. Number one thing I see as we look at this scriptural prayer. In verse 24, it says that the very first thing they say is, "Lord, thou art God." Number one thing. First thing in this prayer is the sufficiency of God. They just pray, "Lord, you're God. Lord, you are God. You're in charge. You're in control." That's a great thing to do. If you know this chapter, you realize that Peter and John, they're in a little bit of trouble. They had healed a guy in chapter 3, a guy that was lame, a guy that had not been able to walk for 40 years. He was healed of that. They went into the temple and they preached Jesus Christ. 5,000 people got saved, but the rulers, the chiefs, those that were in charge, they got mad. And so they grabbed Peter and John and they threw them into prison. And then they threatened them to don't speak in this name again and let them go. They were having trouble here. So in their time of trouble, the very first thing they do is they remind themselves, "Lord, you're God. You are in charge. You are in control. This isn't happening outside of your knowledge. You know what's going on. Lord, you're God. remind yourself, I believe, one of the first things you should do is remind yourself of who you're praying to, Lord, your God. God had to remind some people of this fact. Sometimes we can forget that. There in the book of Genesis, God had spoken to Abraham and to Sarah and had told them, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a child. Well, a year went by. 5 years went by. 25 years went by. There was no child. So God came a second time in Genesis chapter 18. And he says to them, Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a child. Now, they were old. In fact, the Bible, I love how honest it is. In verse 11 of chapter 18, it says this. They were old. They were well stricken in years. Not just old. They were well stricken in years. I ran across this little statement last week. How do you know when you're getting old? What's a test you can give yourself when you know you're getting old? The test is this. When you're warned to slow down by your doctor instead of the police. I just got back from California. I know I'm not getting old. How do you know you're getting old? When the doctor is telling you to slow down. They were old. Abraham would have been pushing 99 years old. Sarah, 89 years old. They were old. You're going to have a baby. She laughs. What? Give me a break. I'm too old to have a baby. And God says, why did you laugh? And in verse 14, he says, is anything too hard for me? Come on, Sarah. Remember who you're dealing with. Remember, I'm God. Lord, you are God. Remember that. Jesus would say in Matthew 19, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Begin your prayers. Remind yourself when you're praying of the sufficiency of God. He's in control. He's in charge. He's God. And they give one proof to the power, to the authority, to the control of God. They say, after that, you have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Their proof that God's in control. Their proof that God is all powerful is creation. Look at creation around you, this prayer is saying. You can tell God's in control. You can tell he's all powerful by simply looking at creation. I love nature. When I was down, this past week, I went to a family reunion down in Monterey, California. And there they have this aquarium. It's a phenomenal aquarium. I've been to a few aquariums around the United States. This is by far my favorite. It's just an incredible place. They have this one room. It's called the Outer Bank Room. And it has these fish in it. It has a great white shark in there. Pretty cool. But it has this one kind of fish. It's called a sunfish. Has anybody ever seen one of those? They are bizarre. They look like Jabba the Hutt, you know, from Star Wars. They're just this blob. They don't have a tail on them. They just have these kind of flippers that barely can move it. And they're the biggest bony fish in the sea. They get up to 500 pounds. Just this blob of 500 pounds just kind of bleh. It's amazing. And great sharks, they've got great white sharks, they've got these giant octopuses, and they've got these fish, bluefin tunas. Have you ever seen one of those? They get huge. They can get to 1,200 pounds. They've got one of them at 600 pounds. This is what fascinated me about the bluefin tuna. It's the most expensive fish in the ocean. One fish in 2001, just one fish, like a 400-pound bluefin tuna, one fish sold for in Tokyo at the Tsukiji Fish Market, one fish sold for $172,400. Now, I'll buy my fishing license for that. That's good fishing. So you've got this, it's incredible, this room. And there's just all these penguins, and they have this stingray petting area. Not so popular anymore. it's awesome. But I'm standing there, and I've got Gabrielle, my daughter, on my shoulders. And we're looking at this, you know, this wonderful million-gallon aquarium, and all of a sudden, everybody starts running. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Is the shark disemboweling somebody? Let's go. Let's check it out. And my brother-in-law says, it's Arnold. I'm like, Arnold who? It's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Really? The governor? Yeah, he's here. And so all these people are running, and I'm thinking, that's so funny. That's so ridiculous. Here you've got this unbelievable display of nature. Stuff you'll never see anywhere else. And what did the people want to see? Another person. I was like, come on, get out of my way. I've got a small child. Creation. It's more than just marveling at creation, though. See, when I think about creation, it reminds me of this. It reminds me that God is faithful. Creation reminds me God is faithful. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, God calls creation to testify of his faithfulness. He says there in Jeremiah 31, he says, if the heavens can be measured, and we haven't measured them yet, we're still trying to figure out how big they are, or the earth, if the foundations of the earth can be explored, we still are not sure about what's in the very bottom of the ocean. If those things can be done, then it would be possible for me to forget my people. Then, if creation could actually be discovered, then it would be possible for me to forget you. And then in chapter 33, he says, if my covenant with the day can be broken, or my covenant with the night could be broken, then it would be possible for me to break my covenant with my people. If the sun doesn't rise in the morning, if that is possible to not happen, then it will be possible for me to break my word to my people. God calls creation to show, to display how faithful he is. If God, in fact, in the book of Job, you can read chapters 38 through 41, God calls creation to testify there as well. He says to Job, where were you when I made all this stuff? Who keeps the cosmos in order? If I can keep the cosmos in order, then Job, I can keep your life in order. I'm going to be faithful to you. If I can keep the planets from crashing into one another, if I can keep these solar systems spinning at hundreds of thousands of miles per hour, if I can keep them in control, then certainly I can keep your life in control. When I look at creation, it reminds me God's going to be faithful to me. He's able to control these things that are huge, massive. He can control my life as well. That's how they start out this prayer. The sufficiency of God. You're in charge and you're going to be faithful. Great way to begin your prayer. God, you're faithful. God, you're in charge. And then next they begin to look at. Next they after that, looking at the sufficiency of God, that he's in charge, he's all powerful, proved by creation. Next they look at Scripture. Look at verse 25. Who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, has both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel gathered together to do whatever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. The second thing they look at, the second part of this prayer, is composed of Scripture. They found in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 2, a prophecy of exactly what was taking place in their current situation. Lord, it was prophesied that the rulers would rise up against us. We begin to persecute us. And that's exactly what the book of Acts begins to show. There's persecution from the rulers, from Rome, from Israel, from the religious against the church. We saw it in your word. We're seeing it take place. Essentially, what they did here is they prayed a promise. It's not a very good promise, but it's yet again a promise. Lord, you told us this is going to happen. Doesn't surprise us. Doesn't freak us out. We're praying Scripture. I really like that. Because Jesus would say this when it comes to praying. He would say over and over through the Gospels, he would say, you guys, ask the Father in my name and you'll receive it. Ask the Father in my name and you'll receive it. Ask in my name. What does that mean, in his name? Does that mean you just close your prayer with, in Jesus' name, amen? No. Names in the Bible always speak of character. Esau was named Esau. It means hairy, because when he came out, he was this hairy little boy. Interesting child. Jacob was named heel snatcher because he was this conniving kind of heel snatcher. Jesus, the name Jesus means God is salvation, because that's what Jesus came to bring, salvation. Names mean something. It describes character. It means when you pray in my character, then you'll have what you pray for. When you pray in a way that Jesus would pray, then you can guarantee you're going to have what you request. It's like this. Let me give you an example. When I was in the ninth grade, There was a guy, I won't mention his name, I'll just call him Johnny. He was 2 years older than me. And he kind of was a bully to me. I'd never been bullied before in my life. And he was kind of a bully and kind of giving me a hard time as a freshman. I could have gone home and I could have prayed this about Johnny. I could have said, Lord, I want you to give Johnny something. I want you to give Johnny, Lord, I want Johnny to wake up this morning with a rusty shrimp fork in his eye. I could have prayed that. That could have been my prayer. Now, I could have ended it with, in Jesus' name. It wouldn't be according to his nature, though. Because Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, love your enemies. Bless those that persecute you. Pray for those that are bullying you. Not to get a rusty shrimp fork in their eye, but for God to change them. You know that that's not according to Christ's nature because of Scripture. That's why I love praying Scripture. I know when I find a promise in God's Word. I know when I find something in God's Word, I can pray that and know that it's according to His nature because it's a promise coming directly from God's Word. There's power in praying the Scripture. There's power in finding a promise and saying, Lord, that's a promise for me. I'm going to pray that in. You said this. You promised that. You told me that in your word. So now I know it's according to your nature. It's according to your name. It's powerful. It works. Well, Matt, that's easy for you to say because you know the promises of God's word. Easy for you to say because you've got all day to search and find a promise that's going to apply to your situation. I don't have that time. I don't know God's word like that. Let me recommend a book for you. You can buy it at Evangel. It's called the Jesus Person Pocket Promise Book. A mouthful. And what it is, it's 800 promises out of God's word. Categorized in about 150 different categories. It's a great little book. You can open it up. Memorize promises from God's word. So that you know when you pray, I'm praying according to his name. This is according to his nature. This is according to the way that God wrote it down for me. That is a powerful prayer. First, they looked at the sufficiency of God. Second, they looked at scriptures, a scripture. And then finally, the final thing that they do here is they say, verse 29, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. Thirdly, supplication. What's supplication? It's simply asking the Lord for something, making your request known to him. Check out what they asked for. They had been threatened. Don't speak anymore. They said, Lord, you heard their threatenings. Now give us more boldness to speak more so we can get in more trouble. I love that. Not change the rulers, not change the laws, not legislation, but rather, Lord, give me boldness. I don't care about them necessarily. Lord, for me, give me boldness. They made requests. It's fine to ask the Lord for things. It's fine to make requests for yourself. Supplication, that's what it means. Praying for yourself. Making requests known. And there are people that may come to you. There have been people that have come to me, and they'll say something like this. When I pray, I never ask God for anything for myself. Have you ever heard someone say that to you? If someone does say that to you, look them straight in the eye and I want you to say this to them. I want you to say this little phrase to them. Say, my, isn't your halo shiny? Just say that to them. Because that's what they're saying. They're puffing them. I don't ask, you know. Well, yeah, your halo is shiny today. Good for you. Because the Bible says we can ask. Jesus would say in the Lord's Prayer, he would say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Paul would say in Philippians chapter 4, he would say, make your request known to God. James would say in James 4 verse 2, he said, you have not because you ask not. We are to request from God. He's our loving Father. He wants to give us good things. Every good and every perfect gift comes from him. James chapter 1 says, it's fine to ask. These guys here ask. They ask for boldness. Unstoppable. I love it. Three components to this prayer. First, the sufficiency of God. Second, a scriptural basis. And then thirdly, supplication, my personal needs now. But there's one more thing I want you to catch. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They asked for it. Lord, give us boldness. And they acted on it. They spoke the word with boldness. They asked for it. We want to be bold. And then the next verse, they went out and they were bold. They began to speak it. They asked and they acted. They started doing what they prayed for. Too often I pray and then I walk away and act like God never heard me. Act like there's no difference made. Act like nothing has changed. Not these guys. They said, Lord, we prayed for boldness, and now we're going to begin to walk in boldness. We're going to speak the word. We're going to do it. Well, I prayed to be good witnesses. I prayed to be a good parent. I prayed for this, and now I'm going to begin to act upon it, Lord, because I know you've heard me. I prayed according to Scripture. I've made my supplication known to you. I have not because I ask not, so I'm asking, and now I'm going to act upon it. I love it. It's powerful. It's like a great man of faith from the last generation or so, George Mueller. Perhaps you've heard of him. He was a world evangelist, but he's best known for his orphanage there in London. He started an orphanage. It soon grew to over 300 children. That's crazy. And he trusted the Lord in an incredible way. His biography, it's simply one sentence. It says this: a man who got things from God. That's what George Mueller was known for. He was a man who got things from God. And I read this about him recently. You may have heard this story. It says, one morning, George Mueller came down. The house mom, the lady that was over the whole house, 300 kids, said, kids are dressed and ready for school, but there's no food. We're completely out of food. What do you want to do? And George Mueller said, set the tables and have the kids sit down. Set the tables, had the kids sit down. He went and said, kids, I don't want you late for school. So let's pray for the food God's going to provide. And so he just simply thanked the Lord. Lord, I thank you for this food that we're going to partake of this morning. Because your word says, Philippians 4, verse 13, that my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. Verse 19, sorry. And so he prayed that. And they sat. Empty plates. 1 minute went by. 2 minutes went by. All of a sudden, a knock on the door. Knock, 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 knock. George Mueller gets up, answers the door. It's the baker. The baker said, last night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I had this stirring in my heart that you guys needed bread, so I baked you 3 batches of bread. Here you go. Thanks. Cut up the bread, gave it to the kids. A couple minutes later, knock, knock, knock on the door. It's the milkman. My wagon just broke in front of your school here. I need to unload the milk so I can take my wagon to town to get it fixed. Do you guys want some milk? Sure. They brought in the milk. I love that. Sit down. We're going to eat, kids. Because God's made this promise, and we're going to pray, and we're going to trust that he's going to supply us with that need. It's an incredible faith that George Mueller had. But I believe you see it in this church. You pray for it, you ask for it, and then you just begin to say, Lord, I'm trusting you're going to make that come true in my life. I prayed to be a good parent. I prayed to have patience. I prayed to be filled with your Spirit. I prayed for this, and I'm going to start walking in it. The Bible says, put on Jesus Christ. It's an action that you do. It's something that you do. I prayed for it, and now I'm going to act on it. Seen here in this prayer. Incredible. I love this prayer. And as I was thinking about this morning, going over what I was going to talk about, the sufficiency of God, supplication, our needs, Scripture, praying those ways, I thought, you know what? You see all of these things. You see all these things in the ordinance called communion. You do? Absolutely. The sufficiency of God in communion, the broken body, the blood, the cup. You see the sufficiency of God, that he paid your price. He made a way. You see in communion, you see there the ability now to ask God for things that we need. Hebrews chapter 4 says, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent, and now we have access to the throne of grace to obtain help in our times of need. You know, before that, before Jesus, before the cross, one man, once a year, was allowed into the presence of God. The Day of Atonement, the high priest. He had to be perfect to go in there. Now the Bible says, it's wide open. You and I can come boldly to the throne of grace and make our requests known to God. It's scriptural, no doubt about it. The act of redemption seen in communion goes from Genesis chapter 3, the proto-evangelicum, all the way to Revelation 22. It's the scarlet thread that binds together scripture. You see it there. So we're going to take communion this morning together. But some of you may be saying, I don't get this whole thing called prayer. I don't get why I even need to pray. Doesn't the Bible say in Matthew 6, verse 8, that He knows our needs even before we ask? It does. So, Matt, why should we pray? If He already knows what I need, if He's God, if He's all-powerful, He does all this stuff, then why should I even bother praying? He already knows it. It seems pointless. It seems like a waste of time. Here's the deal. It's kind of like my daughter. She had a birthday yesterday. Carissa did. She just turned 6. And she made a request known to me, her dad. She is at that age now. 6 years old is the time when they figured out birthdays. But they haven't yet figured out finances. And so they ask for everything. You know, Daddy, I want this, and Daddy, I want that, and Daddy, I want this, and that. But I loved it. Because in our conversations, she's very good at communicating her needs. I got to know my daughter a lot better. I want a horse picture like this. I want this animal. I want this camera. She knew exactly what she wanted. And by our having communication, by her conversing with me, talking with me, I learned all about her. Because of her requests, because of those conversations. I know my daughter better because we were talking. And she knows finances better because I was talking to her. She knows me a little bit better. And I think that's the highest call of prayer. It's not necessarily getting something from God. It's rather getting to know God. That's what it's having communion with Him. You get to know God better. When you are reminded that He's sufficient, Lord, You are God. You're the one that created heavens and earth. I'm learning more about You, about Your all-powerful nature. I'm studying Scripture, finding out Your promises to know more about Your nature. I'm making supplication and seeing You give me answers, which shows me that You're faithful and that You care for me. That's what it's about. Prayer is to have communion with God, I believe. That is the highest calling of human life. It's from Genesis chapter 1. He created the garden to have communion with Adam and Eve, to walk with them in the cool of the garden, interrupted by sin. But in Revelation 22, we see it back again, New Jerusalem, in there with God. No need for the sun anymore because God lights the entire place with His presence. It's communion with God. It's the highest calling. It's what we were created to do, have communion with Him. And in prayer, you find yourself drawing close to God. And there's no other way to do it. Making your request known to Him, learning about Him, seeing your requests come to pass, knowing He's faithful and He's in charge. That's why we pray. And this morning, when we take communion, I want you guys to think about one thing that you'd like to make a request for. One thing that you say, this is something that's important to me. Between the body and between the bread, I'm going to give you, or between the body and the cup, I'm going to give you a couple minutes. To make your request known to God. Lord, You've provided a way. You've told us to ask. So I want you to ask. I want you right now as we sing a couple worship songs. As the guys, you can be dismissed to get the communion. I want you to be thinking about, what should I request? You've made a way. We're to ask. I want you to request it. And I want you to start acting it. Lord, I ask to be a good parent. Lord, I ask for patience. Lord, I ask for humility. Lord, I ask for fill in the blank. And Lord, I want to start acting like it. I'm going to leave this place filled with Your Spirit, empowered by Your body, cleansed by Your blood. And I'm going to start asking what I prayed. So think about a request. And we're going to sing a couple worship songs and then corporately take communion together.
You are so good to me. You are my broken heart. You are my Father. Yeah. You are so good to me. You are my broken heart. You are my Father. Yeah. Sing that again. You are so are so good to me. You heal my broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I'll sing again. You ride up on the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside of me. You ride up on the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside of me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I'll sing again. Poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus. You love me. You poured out all your blood. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus. You love me. Let me sing that again. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus. You loved me. 'Cause you are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I'll sing again. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I'll sing again. I'll sing again. That is not of you, but is of me. I want more of you and less of me. Holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of you. But it's of me. I want more of you and less of me. Empty me. Empty me. Fill me with holy fire, burn away my desire for anything that is not of you, but is of me. I want more of you and less of me. That is not of you. It is of me. I want more of you.
Father, I thank you for this act of communion that you left us with. That your body, which was perfect, unspotted, would be given on our behalf. That, Lord, we could once again have fellowship with our Father. That we could once again walk in the cool of the garden and talk with you. Receive from you. And so this morning, Lord, we receive the broken body by faith. That, Lord, you once again are entering into us anew this morning, filling us afresh, even as happened there in Acts chapter 4. With your presence and your power and your abilities, Lord. Enabling us to be the Christians, the believers, the parents that we desire to be. So, Father, by faith, we take of your Son's body given for us, believing, Lord, that you are going to empower us this day. Let's take together. I want you to take 1 or 2 minutes. Whisper a prayer. Not loud enough that the person next to you can hear, but mouth the words so that your mind stays on your request. You've taken the body of Christ into you, empowered by what He has done for you. Now make your request known. Pray a simple prayer. We are to be able to come boldly to your throne of grace and obtain help in our times of need because of the cleansing work that you've done for us. Now, Lord, we are new creations in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That we have been made the righteousness of God because of the work of your blood. That you've cleansed us, Lord, and that allows us the access to the throne to make our supplication to you. We thank you, Lord, that you heard our prayers this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you are even now dispatching answers. Dispatching, Lord God, gifts. So, Lord, do a great thing because we've requested this morning from you. We thank you for your cup. And, Lord, we drink this being reminded that we are cleansed by your Son. Being reminded that we are new creatures. Being reminded that who the Son has set free is free indeed. Being reminded that it's in Jesus that we find life, that we find the way, that we find truth. So, Father, cleanse us afresh even this morning. Let's drink together. Would you stand with me as we sing one final song?
Great is your faithfulness. You never change. You never change. You never fail, O Lord. True are your promises. True are your promises. True are your promises. You never change. You never change. You never fail, O God. And so we raise our holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is and is to come. And yeah, we raise our holy hands praise the Holy One who was and is and is to come. What is your love and grace, Lord? What is your love and grace? What is your love and grace? You never change. You never fail, God. Sing that to you, Lord, this morning. What is your love? What is your love and grace? What is your love and grace? You never change. You never fail, O God. And so we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is, who was and is to come. Yeah, we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is to come. You were You are, you will always be. You are, you will always be. Sing that to you, Lord. You are, you will always be. So we raise up holy hands to praise the Holy One who was and is and is to come.
Amen. God bless you guys.